Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Richard, to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. We are so excited to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's going to be really cool to hear your journey. So you're in warm San Jose right now, huh?
Yes, I am. And it's been peaking hotter and hotter almost every other weekend. It started at like 80s and now we're hitting the hundreds. So.
That's rough. At least you got ocean somewhat nearby.
Yeah, I have the ocean about 30 minutes over the Santa Cruz Mountains. So
okay.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
I was going to say I'm loving this Idaho weather, but I am a little jealous that I'm not a half hour from the ocean.
Yeah, it makes life easier. Yeah, we're going to head over to the coast this coming weekend, so it'd be nice just to cool down a little bit over there.
Yes, very nice.
Yes, definitely.
So, San Jose is not really known as Lyme Country, right?
No, not at all. That's why a lot of my doctors, my general practitioner, nobody searched for it, nobody looked at it. But in all honesty, I think I had it a lot sooner than what I recently had, because when I was about 2019, I had moments where I was blacking out, and I did a bunch of tests. They couldn't find anything. I was being tired for multiple years, for multiple months, and this was going on for a couple of years. And one day I was just at work sitting in my desk, and I was slurring my speech, my vision went out, and then I just blacked out and I hit the ground. Lucky my coworker caught me before my head hit, but my blood pressure was through the roof. My body was just in a lot of pain. I went to the doctor. They said that I just needed medication. So they gave me a shot of Toradol and then they just shrugged it off. And they said I was fine because all my vitals came back fine the next day. And that happened a couple of times. And I would end up sleeping for about 18 to 20 hours a day. I had a call off of work because of it. And this was going on for about 2 to 3 years. And I was seeing doctors, they ran tests. They're like, yeah, everything's fine. There's nothing wrong. And I was like, well, something has to be wrong. There has to be something because this just doesn't seem normal. And then fast forward to about 2019, 2020 is when I ended up getting a huge rash and they thought it was shingles. So they ended up treating me for shingles. So they gave me antibiotics. Well, 3-4 months later, the rash came back and it was bigger. And they ended up giving me medication again for shingles because they said it was shingles. But once again, I was sleepy for about 2 months. I was just sleeping 15, 16 hours. And my doctor was like, yeah, it's just shingles. It's part of it. It happens. Are you in a lot of pain? And I felt like a train would hit me every single day. And that's how much pain I was in. And it just kept going. And then it finally went away. And they're like, oh yeah, your shingles are over. And so it was just really crazy to me that was happening. So I don't know if I had it before or if I had it when the shingles appeared or if it was not even actually shingles. It was just a rash.
So when before this, you didn't have any other symptoms, you know, before that 2019 or something like that, when this was going on, you lived happily. I mean, you just felt good. No other issues.
I always felt like I had like something mentally wrong. I felt always spaced out. And then, like I said, I was very tired a lot of the time. I'd end up sleeping for months for about 18 hours a day. And sometimes I'd have to call out of work because I just couldn't move. And I had body aches. And at this time I was 21, 22. So I was just like, well, this shouldn't be happening. I'm just too young for these symptoms to be occurring. And they would stay for about 5 to 6 months and then they would end up going away for about a year or two and then they would come back.
And when did this start? I mean, any of these symptoms start?
They started when I was about 21, 22.
Okay, so before right now, that, when you were 20 something, you really felt good. There was no issue with falling asleep and all of that.
Yeah, I didn't really have much issues, none of that. But when I was younger, I would always go camping. I would go hiking out into the mountains and the hills. Whether I got bit or not, I might not have known. But I do also know that Lyme can come from spiders, mosquitoes, other kind of insects, and it doesn't have to be a tick. So it could have come from there. And also, too, I don't know if I could have got it from utero either. I'm adopted, so I don't know my parents. I don't know their history of any of that sort. But a lot of the symptoms that I recently had, I was having when I was 21, 22, and they would come for about 6 months and then go away and then come back.
And I'm sure you've discovered this, but sitting at your desk and just passing out is not normal. It is not a normal thing, whether your vitals are good or not. It's just not normal.
Yes, that is
correct. I don't
need
to be a doctor to give you that diagnosis.
And just because your labs turn out looking good, if you are having those kind of symptoms, it just means that the doctor is not pulling the right kind of lab.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's just like you're saying, they're just kind of brushing you off, and here you're struggling and not being able to function. So this was when you're 20, 21, and then what happened after then? I mean, you passed out and they couldn't find anything, and what?
So right after that, it just kept going on for a couple of years. We just brushed it off because they kept saying it was nothing, and I was tired of spending all the medical bills to go in a circle. So fast forward to 2019 and the end of it, that's when they said that I had shingles. And then 2020 came, everything shut down. COVID put me into a worse depression. And then the end of 2020 is when I got my second round of shingles, is what they said. And then I also got the vaccination shot. And the vaccination shot is what triggered everything for me. Mm. Not the first one, but the second one. So right after my second shot, I was reading a book to my daughter, and it was some dinosaur book. And I just couldn't pronounce the words. I started slurring them again. My vision was going fuzzy. And then I just passed out. I hit the floor and I blacked out. And I don't know how long I was out for. And my daughter at the time was 2, and she was on top of me, and she thought I was joking around. So she's laughing, pushing me. And when I came to, I realized what had happened. So I just started laughing with her just so I didn't scare her. But then I told my wife, and she was like, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry. Like, her books are really hard to read. I understand, like, you stuttering. And I'm like, no, like, I couldn't pronounce the words. And she's like, yeah, dinosaur names are really hard. And I was like, no, I couldn't say book. I couldn't say anything. I started slurring. And she goes, that's not normal. So we called an advice nurse. They thought I was having hypoxia. So an ambulance came out. They took me to the emergency room. They ran vitals, and the doctor just said, you're under stress. There's nothing wrong with you. And
would
nobody
you like
asked
some
me
medication?
About
the-
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they gave me like anxiety medication.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Great.
And so I was just like, okay, well, it had to have been something more. I mean, even if stress does cause that, it wouldn't have, I guess, done it that fast or at that point. Like, I probably would have had a time where I could calm myself down. Like, I was just sitting down reading a book. And they just didn't ask me questions at all. They just said it was stress because my heart rate and my blood pressure was fine. And then they're just like, well, here's some medication. Just go on your way.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's what's wrong with our medical community.
Yes.
At least the Western medicine part of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're great when it comes to, emergency things.
Having babies and
breaking the leg, saving if you have a heart attack, all of these things they're fantastic at, but things that are chronic, complex, and that requires a little bit more looking, they don't want to do that.
Yeah. So when or how did you get to the point where you found somebody that would believe you that you got your Lyme diagnosis?
So when that happened, I didn't want to take any more chances because I have my daughter, and my wife was saying we need to get another opinion. So I ended up talking to my doctor, and he referred me to a neurologist. And the neurologist swore that it was the COVID vaccination that was triggering my episode or my symptom that I had. So she wanted...
They actually said that? They actually said that they think it was a COVID shot that triggered it?
Yeah, so my neurologist believed that the COVID vaccination is what had triggered the episode that I had. And this was the first time that I met her, so she didn't know any of my other symptoms or my background or my story or anything of that. This was just when I first met her. So that's why she ordered a slew of tests. And I think it was like 6 or 7 MRIs, CAT scans, blood panels, everything, the whole works. And it all came back fine. There was no lesions on my head. There was nothing wrong with my brain. They couldn't find anything. And then at the very last minute, she decided to do a blood test, and it was a Western blot reflex test. And one of the markers with the specialist came back, but there was 4 or 5 other markers and they came back negative. So he said that I didn't have Lyme. And I said, okay, well then why is this saying that I do, but these markers say that I don't? What's the difference? And he said, well, those are just like the severity of it. Yours isn't very severe. And I was like, well, that doesn't really make sense. Like, if I was to have cancer, is it severe cancer? Is it bad cancer? But regardless, you have cancer, right? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, so then what's the difference with Lyme? And he goes, well, we don't really count it as Lyme. And so for me, that just didn't make any sense to me.
Not at all. So, either you have it or you don't have it.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, you're not halfway pregnant. You know, either you're pregnant or not pregnant. So that's a thing, is that Lyme is, I mean, since it is so notorious for giving false negatives, so anything that is an indication of that you have it, yeah, it's amazing that you have that, and that is, I mean, that it's, you know, showing that you actually have it.
Yeah, so we went through that, and then they wanted to rule out that I didn't have any autoimmune diseases. So they wanted to take a plasma sample from my spine. So I ended up having to go through a couple of lumbar punctures. And what they found out was that I had abnormal B cells that were skewed in my spinal fluid. And the first time that they did it, it was a really bad experience for me. The hole didn't cover properly and it didn't seal, so the fluid that was going up to my brain was having my brain rock back and forth, and I was getting massive headaches. So they ended up having to schedule a blood patch, and the blood patch was worse than when they actually pulled the fluid from my spine. Because this time I'm sitting bent over, very similar to like an epidural. So I'm hunched over and they're sliding a needle right where they had the incision, and I have to sit still, and then they come around and pull blood out from my hand, and then they insert it into the needle directly into my back. And their main thing is make sure you don't move, because the needle could slip and it could cause a lot of damage to your spine. But when they inject the blood straight into my back, your back's not meant to take that. So I lost consciousness and I moved. And so I was gonna fall over. So luckily, there was 2 other nurses that were there and that caught me when that happened. Unfortunately for me, they said that they didn't take enough sample sizes the first time. So they wanted to do it again the following week. And I said, no, I need a break.
So you would figure if they are saying that if we slip, if you move, you know, it can cause a lot of damage, that they, by now, I mean, we're living a fairly sophisticated technical era, you know, but the been able to figure out how to secure you. Yeah. I mean, that's, I would think so.
Yeah.
Considering the risk.
Yeah. They basically just had me sitting on the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I'm just on the edge of the bed and I'm basically leaned over and they're like, okay, don't black out. But it's like, your back is not meant to take in anything back there. So yeah. It was just a lot of weird pressure that was put on my back. And then I just went unconscious.
Wow.
So that's how they found the abnormal B cells. And then they thought it was cancer. So then I had to go see an oncologist.
Okay.
And he's the one that wanted to redo another lumbar puncture. And I asked him, why would these B cells be here? And he said, I have no idea. And I said, are they bad? Are they good? And he just said, they're not supposed to be here. And I said, okay, well, how did they get there? And he said, I have no idea.
So what does it mean?
Yeah. So we had all these questions and we asked them all. And the only answer we got is, we don't know. We have no clue. We need to redo a lumbar puncture. And at this time, I had switched from a regular standard American diet to keto. It made me feel a little bit better, and it was helping with the inflammation and a lot of things too. And my mental state was the number one reason that I switched. My neurologist and my psychologist at the time also said that it will probably help me with my mental state, because at this point in time, my mental state is just shot. I'm waking up crying. I want to die. I think the world's going to end. I can't go a day without thinking horrible thoughts or just thinking the worst of the worst things that are going to possibly happen. But now that I think about it, standing next to me, if I was to go back in time, everything in my life was great. But for me, having Lyme and having that, like, everything was just bad. Everything was a disaster. And it made my mental state just complete utter poop. Like, it was just terrible. Like, I don't even know how to explain the feelings that I had when I was there. It was just, I just wanted to cry all the time.
So was that due to thinking that you have Lyme, or do you think it was, meaning the thought that you had Lyme and it was overwhelming, or do you feel that it was the Lyme, you know, triggering that inflammation in the brain and nervous system causing you to have, you know, this mood, this mood disorder?
I think it was the Lyme that was causing it, because at this point in time, I still didn't know if I had Lyme. Even though I went to the specialist and I took the test, I'm not a doctor. I didn't know about these tests. I didn't know that there's multiple markers. My neurologist said that she didn't know, but she could maybe take a guess that it was. I'm seeing a cancer doctor. It just seemed like every doctor and specialist that I'm going to has no idea what's going wrong with me. They have no idea what's happening. The best answer I can get is the COVID vaccination shot didn't play nice with my system. And I just feel left alone, abandoned, and that's adding to it. And at the same time, I had other symptoms such as my legs and my arms would go numb. Like, she could literally stab me with a needle and I would not feel anything at all. She would be behind me stabbing my back and I'm like, okay, are you going to do it? And she's like, I have been, and I couldn't feel anything. It was like I would slip a disc in the bottom of my back. Like, I just couldn't move. I couldn't walk. And there were certain days like this. And I think all of that added to the mental aspect of it. And I think it was all because of Lyme. But at that time, I didn't know. I just thought it was, I'm not getting any answers. There's something wrong with me. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's something else. This has to be one of the worst things that could happen to someone. And it just seemed like it was never ending. It didn't seem like there was any light at that tunnel.
Yeah, because without any resolution, I mean, then you can never go on any trajectory to address it. Yeah, you know, you're correct. Just kind of in that neutral space, you know, and that's a horrible place to be.
Yeah. So
it definitely is, because at least if they give you some sort of diagnosis, then you have something to work with. You're like, okay, you know, I've got this. And so this is what I'm going to do. But if nothing's wrong with you, then how can you possibly have hope that you're going to get better? Because nothing's wrong with you. So
Correct. That's
very, very, very sad. And it's a very dark place to be at, for sure.
And it's interesting, a lot of all the people that we interviewed, you know, and they go on this journey trying to figure out what's wrong with them. And then finally, you know, after 20, 30 years or whatever time it takes, they figure out what's wrong and say, yes, it's Lyme. Yeah, now we know what it is. And then they say, oh, crap, it's Lyme.
Yeah.
That's exactly. And we were talking earlier that you truly, I guess, Richard, the phrase is you don't get it till you get it, right? That's what we were talking about, is that it just, unless you've lived through Lyme it's just not even possible to describe how you feel with it. It's just not for somebody to truly get it. Like, you have to get it. You have to get Lyme to feel what we go through.
Yeah, and like, I try to explain it to people that have had other diseases or symptoms, and it just didn't correlate. Or just to be able to say, like, it feels like I slipped my disc. A lot of people are just like, oh yeah, you just tweaked it or moved weird. Like, I understand it's sore, but it's not sore. It literally feels like someone took a sledgehammer to my back and I can't move. And it takes that pain level from, most people think it's like a 1 or 2, but it's in reality, it's actually like a 10 or 12. And it's just one of those things where if you've never had Lyme or you don't know someone with Lyme, you kind of really don't, it's kind of hard to say that you understand what it is that we're going through, because so many aspects and there's so many flares that are happening in your body. And we have to put on, it almost feels like we have to be society ready at every given time and kind of hide these symptoms that we're having almost.
Yeah. So when did you find out? I mean, you were suspecting because you had that one marker, but I mean, when did you kind of say, or when did you come to the point knowing this is Lyme that I'm dealing with?
It probably happened after my second lumbar puncture in December, where the B cells seemed to have been eradicated and they were no longer there. And when I asked the oncologist what happened, he just said, I don't know, they disappeared, they're not there. And I said, well, what could have caused that? He goes, I don't know, I honestly have no clue. And I was like, well, this is not very helpful at all. I was that you helped me do.
You don't know how to get there. You don't know how to left. Yeah. You don't. What do you know?
What am I paying you for? Yeah.
Literally, yeah. So then I went back to see my neurologist, and she said most likely what happened is the inflammation that I had was being helped by switching to keto. And I said, well, what happens if I take it a step further and I cut out all carbohydrates? Because at this time, food and what I was putting in my body was the only thing that was really helping me, and doctors weren't helping me. And if they wanted to put me on antibiotics and treatment, I would ask why, and I wouldn't really get an answer except for, well, that's just what we do. And I said, well, what is it going to do? And they're like, well, it's going to help. And I was like, how? Like, how long? And the answers were like, well, you got to be on this medication for a year, 8 months, 2 years. And I didn't want to end up going down that route. And so she said that keto seemed to have helped the inflammation that was happening in my spine, and it probably eradicated the B cells. And I said, well, can I take it a step further and just remove all carbohydrates that were causing inflammation? And she goes, well, you're not going to be very healthy. And I said, well, if I eat organ meats, then I'll get all my nutrients that I need that I'm getting from my plants. And she goes, well, I don't recommend that. And I was like, well, you're not recommending anything. And what you are recommending, I can't afford because my insurance isn't going to cover it, because some insurances don't cover these procedures that are these precautionaries that deal with Lyme, such as like ozone treatment and stuff. So sometimes you have to come out of pocket. And I was like, well, this fits in my budget and it seems to be helping. And especially if keto helped, then this would just help me even more. And she goes, well, I can't stop you from doing it, but I recommend you not do it. And I said, well, in a hypothetical situation, what's the worst that's going to happen? And she goes, well, you'll be malnourished and I guess it will fix all of your inflammation. And I said, well, I know for a fact I won't be malnourished, because if I eat organ meats, then I'll be good. And if it gets rid of my inflammation, then that's a bonus win, right? And she goes, well, I guess if you look at it that way. So I made the switch over to carnivore. And so when I first started, I went strictly lion's diet, which was just meat, water, and salt. And then I started adding back in chicken, seafood, and eggs. And so now that's what my diet has been for about 4 to 5 months. And everything that I had has seemed to have been a lot less. I still get flares every now and then, but it's not nearly as bad and they don't nearly last as long. So if I get a flare, it's going to last me about 3 days versus before it was lasting about 30 days.
And how are you feeling mentally with all of this?
Mentally is probably the best thing. And that's why A lot of people are like, well, when are you going to come off the diet? Because now you can eat all of these other things like donuts. And it's like, I dream about donuts every single day and I want one, but I'm so scared to go backwards because of my mental. And right now it's fantastic. When it happened and I was taking a shower, something in my head like popped and I don't know what it was. And it really scared me. And then I just started laughing hysterically. And my wife is like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I have no idea. I'm just happy. And I had never felt that way as long as I could remember. And then I just started crying. And she said, why are you crying now? And I said, I'm happy. Like I'm truly happy. I've never had this feeling. Or if I did, I can't remember having this feeling. And she goes, okay, you're really weirding me out. Like, do I need to call someone? And I'm like, no, like, it's just, I'm happy. And she's like, well, you've been happy. And I'm like, no, like, I just put fake smiles on. Like, I just pretended I was happy. But right now I'm truly happy. And because of that, I was able to start running. And now I'm able to do ultra runs. So I just finished my first 50K, which is 31 miles. And I have another race in August. And then after that, I'm signing up for a 50 miler. And then my next goal is to do a 100 miler. And I want to do Leadville and I want to do Western States. Those are the two longest runs. They're 100 miles and they've been around for as long as I can remember. So
that's awesome.
Those are my main
goals. Wow. Those are some accomplishments.
It's really cool. Yeah. Really cool. And I mean, yeah, it just shows how using diet as medicine, using food as medicine, what you can accomplish. And it's one of those things like the carnivore diet. You know, I've had a number of patients coming in and they ask me and I really, because initially the first reaction is that can't be good because then you're missing all these nutrients, you know, and all the vegetables, fruits, berries, and all these things. But then they do it and they ask me just to kind of monitor blood levels and they seem to be doing fine, you know, and they feel great. And so, you can't argue, even though mentally you think that this is not what you should eat, you can't argue with the effect. Yeah, you can't argue. Here you are, coming from where you were to where you're at now, and this is the intervention that you did, and so you can't argue with that.
Yeah, definitely, and I will say that there's so much when I started it. I myself was really scared to do it because it goes against everything that I knew for food and everything that I was taught. But luckily, along this whole process, I got certified as a holistic nutritionist. So I ended up researching everything, like I deep dove into it and all the numbers and everything was there. And it was just staring at me and it was like, just do it, just do it. And I was like, I don't have anything else to lose. Like if I keep going down the same rabbit hole that I'm going down right now, I'm going to end up in the same spot. So I have to do something to get me out of it. I have to do something. And I didn't know what to do except for that. So I changed it all. Everybody was telling me, don't do that. My wife was not on board. She was against it. She's like, you're going to die. Like, this is going to kill you. Everyone I talked to said the same thing. They're like, this is impossible. You're nuts. You're crazy. And I was like, well, I might be crazy. I might be insane, but I have to try and do something. I'm not ready to stop fighting and I'm going to fight to get my life back. And that's exactly what I did. And at the same time, Lyme is like making a deal with the devil because it gives you the worst thing possible. But if you're able to open up yourself and be able to truly test yourself, you'll get the biggest reward ever. And for me, that was just being able to be in the moment, to be able to see things in a different perspective. And it's given life a whole different color and a different vibrant, dance, because everything now is different for me. When I'm running and I'm out in the wilderness and I'm on those trails, yeah, I could probably get bitten by a tick again. And yeah, I could probably get Lyme again or make it worse. But when I'm there, I'm in that moment and there's nothing like it. And I was able to accomplish from being bedridden and not being able to run a mile to running 30 miles and going further and further. And I have such a bigger appreciation for life itself. And I'm not wound up in all this technology and everything that's there, and I'm able to just be in that moment. And that was something that I think that Lyme gave to me that I never had before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you just gave me the chills.
Yeah. That's
really, yeah. It changes us when we go through Lyme. Some people more than others. But it definitely has taken my road, down a different road. And it sounds like that it's happened for you too. So not everything about Lyme is bad. I guess the outcome can be good, right? Our new path in life. Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. Definitely. And we talk so much about how important diet is. Mm-hmm. And there's still just a lot of people that are sick that just don't get that. So this your story right here just kind of goes to show, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah, we heard it again and again. And it's interesting. It's not, so the carnivore diet worked for you, and then we've had all these other people that went to plant-based, organic, and that worked for them. So it's interesting to see that, and maybe carnivore would have worked for them as well. I mean, we don't know, but it definitely is that shift in diet away from inflammatory foods is crucial, and I think it depends a little bit from person to person as to which diet that would be the most beneficial. But at the end of the day, it still needs to be anti-inflammatory and nutrient dense. And obviously either organ meat is that, and plant-based is that. I mean, I think each individual has to kind of feel it out a little bit for themselves as to what their body resonate with.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that I really wish that plant-based would work for me or a keto. I really miss my berries, blackberries, raspberries, blueberries. Those were like my favorite foods. I would eat them all the time. But it's what worked for me, and it gave me my life back. So I'm more thankful for that than wanting to eat the food. So
yeah,
it's definitely helped.
Yeah, I mean, just the gratitude, like you're saying, of being able to run. I mean, that just having your body being able to perform, and I mean that is such a huge blessing. And like you're saying, I mean, the people that have not gone through what you've gone through, they don't recognize the blessing of being able to be active, and they cherish just a moment sitting in front of technology instead of
eating donuts.
Eating
donuts. Don't forget the donuts.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't forget the donuts. Yeah. So yeah, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show. This was awesome. This was great.
Yes, yeah, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure listening to your story, and good for you. And I have no doubt you're going to make that 50-mile or 100-mile, right? 100-mile.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. I'm sure you'll succeed at that as well. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Of course. Thank you very much. And the one thing I do want to say, and I talked about it earlier, is if there are people that are listening and they are having mental issues, you're not alone. It's very hard to get out of it. I know you are not going to be by yourself. There's people that are there for you. You do need to look a little bit, but they are there. And if you do find them, they're willing to help and be there for you. And just know that there is a light at the tunnel, even though at this time it may not seem that way. But there really is a light, and you'll get there.
I love that.
Best words ever. Yes. That was what our listeners needed to hear, because we know someone out there who's struggling that's listening to this right now. So those are fantastic words to end on. So thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives.
For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.